Tara sliced her arms through the turbulent water, kicking her legs furiously. The entire island had disappeared while they were in the lab. The storm was too much for Grand Isle Tiburon, inviting the ocean to claim it for its own.
Lee!
She heard the woman screaming, but couldn't see her. Lenny had managed to paddle his way onto the roof of the lab, Tara helping him up. She'd lost the rifle in the process. And where was Ollie?
Lee, where are you?
Something tugged on her leg. She gave a wild kick, panicking. It touched her again. She splashed toward the building, forgetting all of her swimming skills.
Lenny, help me!
A hand grabbed her shoulder.
It's me.
Ollie came up for air.
Jesus, I thought you were the shark.
Where's Lee?
I don't know.
And Lenny?
He dog paddled as best he could, his head slipping under every few seconds. She remembered that he wasn't a good swimmer. If he kept this up, he'd drown, his body exhausting itself.
He's on the roof. You need to get up there too.
Not until we find Lee.
And what happened to Stephen? She thought. He had left to find a way out. Had he been swept out to sea just as the island was swallowed up? Tara still believed in things like heaven and hell. For Stephen's sake, she hoped he was in heaven now, holding Heidi's hand, free from the pain and madness that had been the final day of their lives. The gray-black skies made it seem like the dead of night. When is this fucking storm going to end? It felt as if it had been pummeling them for days, when it only must have been a couple of hours at the most.
Don't make me have to save two people! You can't swim! Now get on the roof!
They spotted the dorsal fin 30 yards away. Pointing at the shark, Ollie sank under the water for a moment. When he surfaced, Tara was reaching for him.
We have to get out of here.
They reached the edge of the roof at the same time, pulling themselves up and flopping onto their back. Ollie tried to catch his breath as the rain hammered his face, snaking into his mouth.
Lenny!
His friend stood over him, wavering.
Did you see it?
Is it still there?
She sat up. It took Ollie a few seconds to muster the strength to do the same.
It dipped below the water just as you were coming up here. I don't know where it went.
Ollie took in the carnage. Everywhere he looked, there was water. Only the tops of the lab buildings were above the ocean now. Everything he'd dreamed of washed away. All that was left was the damn Megalodon, or Lotano, waiting patiently for them to jump in its pool.
How much longer do you think we've got?
Not long.
Ollie wondered if he meant them or himself. He saw dark tendrils snaking up Lenny's arm like some kind of tribal tattoo. Lee's urgent screaming stole their attention.
Where the hell is she?
Three pairs of eyes scanned the turbulent, watery horizon.
There!
Ollie pointed to their left. A sideways palm tree bobbed on the surface. Lee clung to the side of the tree, screaming for help over and over again.
I'm going in for her.
No fucking way!
He got a hold of her before she could dive off the roof. He spotted a long metal pole on the roof.
The tide is pushing her this way.
Ollie hefted the pole.
I'll try to hook the tree and get her closer. Then we can pull her up. Tara, hang on to me.
He leaned over the roof. The water was only a couple of feet below him. But he was terrified of stepping into it for even a second. He wasn't sure if there was enough water to conceal the Megalodon, but he wasn't going to take a chance. Tara latched onto his waistband. He angled out as far as he could.
Help me! Mr. Ollie, help me!
Just hold on!
He swung the hook toward the tree. It missed by a foot. The tide swelled. He tried again. The nub buried itself in the sodden trunk. He pulled with all his might. Lenny used his good arm to help Tara rein Ollie in. They tugged hard, drawing him and the tree with Lee closer. His feet back on the roof, Ollie used the pole to keep the tree beside the lab.
See if you can grab a hold of Lee.
Tara and Lenny reached down.
Mr. Ollie, help me!
The second Lee saw them, she let go of the tree and waved her hands wildly.
Lee, you need to calm down.
Tara and Lenny kept missing her as she fought to both stay afloat and get rescued.
Miss Tara, Mr. Lenny, help!
Fuck this, Ollie thought. He let go of the pole and jumped in next to Lee. She struggled against him, and for a terrifying moment, they both went under. Ollie held on, but he couldn't tell which way was up. Somehow, they broke through. The first thing he saw was Tara and Lenny's petrified faces. They thrust their hands out to them.
It's okay, Lee. It's okay. They'll get you onto the roof.
He wrapped his arms around her waist and guided her to them. Lee went limp. Lenny and Tara each took a hand and pulled. Lee was as heavy as an old-time safe. Tara was strong, having spent the better part of her unemployment at the gym, but she was no power lifter. It didn't help that poor Lenny only had the one good arm and that poison running through his system.
Pull!
She strained until she saw spots dance at the corners of her vision. She felt Lee's body break from the embrace of the ocean and dared to look down. The woman's face had gone from raw panic to absolute serenity. Then something red and wet fell from Lee onto Ollie's face.
Oh my God!
Lee's legs were gone. Where her waist should be was just a jagged mess of torn flesh and ropey bowels. How the fuck was she still alive? Ollie struggled to stay afloat while her gore rained down on him.
Hurry, hurry!
Lee slipped over the lip of the roof. They quickly turned her onto her back.
Thank you.
Lee's mouth went slack. Tara watched her life drain from her body, her eyes going milky as her chest deflated.
Ollie!
Tara ran back to the edge. He was still there, the blood washed away by the rain and ocean. She helped him up. Lenny lay on his side next to Lee. Tara felt the pulse beat on Lenny's neck.
He's alive. He must have passed out from the exertion.
They looked down at Lee's ruined body.
You think the shark did that?
It had to. That damn thing could swallow us all in one bite. You think it could have spared her the pain?
If this keeps up, we're gonna find out how merciful it is toward us soon.
He bent over and looked like he was about to vomit. She went to touch his back, but he waved her off.
What just happened? It's gonna haunt me forever. But I can't let it overwhelm me now.
He looked down at a cord of intestine poking out from Lee. Tara peered over his shoulder. The dorsal fin emerged, closer than before. Only this time, they could see its massive body as it skimmed just under the surface, its tail fin fanning back and forth as it patrolled the sinking lab. Dozens of other, smaller sharks' fins swam about, keeping their distance from the megalodon. They were as afraid of it as the humans.
What the hell does it want? It has a whole ocean to explore!
Ollie dropped to his knees, eyes glued to the shark.
This is its home. It's almost like it's waiting for something.
Tara shivered, just thinking what that something could be. The megalodon had been resurrected for a very specific purpose. What the fuck had the crazy assholes who had done the impossible been thinking? Was it their goal to unleash it on Russian surfers during the Cold War? Or did they create this monstrosity just for the sheer fact that they could? If the story about Nazi scientists being recruited to better the American quest for military dominance was true, anything was possible, no matter how insane it seemed. History more than showed the Nazis' penchant for the grotesque and absurd.
What do we do now?
The waters were still rising. Lenny was dying, and there was no place else to go.
The only thing we can do. Pray the storm ends soon.
Have you seen any sign of Steven?
Ollie shook his head, water dripping from his hair.
He's gone.
But they couldn't wake him up. Maybe he was better off that way. The black gangrene, or whatever the hell it was, had inched its way up his right arm, ending just past his elbow. Pretty soon, he'd be just like Heidi had been. Even if she had the proper medical supplies, it probably wouldn't help if she amputated the entire arm. The poison was in him, racing through his bloodstream, killing him with each passing second. The megalodon leapt out of the water as if it were some trained orca at SeaWorld. Tara grabbed Ollie's hand, skittering back from the end of the roof. In the second or two that it left the bonds of the ocean, they were given a glimpse of its full, gigantic form. From nose to its tail fin, it had to be 70 feet, if not longer. She couldn't help thinking it was a living, breathing battleship. If the American military could harness and control the megalodon, just the sight of it would send any naval force in full retreat. Or was Lee right, and Lotano had come to set things right once again? She felt the concussion of the splash in her chest as the zombie shark slammed into the ocean. Tara realized there was no way out. The megalodon's dorsal fin pointed straight at the building. It sped toward them, heedless of the depth of water.
How does it know we're up here?
It can't. It just can't. Sharks can't see well.
They braced for impact. Ollie's grip was so tight, the bones in her hand ground against one another painfully. She hoped Lenny would remain unconscious and never know the agony they were about to endure.
Shit, shit, shit.
The shark came closer. And then it disappeared. The great triangle sank beneath the water.
Where did it go?
Ollie ran the perimeter of the roof, scanning the roiling ocean.
I don't see it.
Tara looked down at her feet. She knew exactly where it had gone. The center building was to their left, the building that had housed the tank. The tank that was a direct pipeline to the ocean. It was the first time she was grateful they were stuck on the roof of one of the lower buildings. But how long would it remain down there in its private, murky lair?
Fuck your fucking mother's sister!
Tara and Ollie turned to Lenny, who was now sitting up.
We're not dead yet?
I'm afraid not.
Where's the shark now?
I'm pretty sure it's under the lab. It was coming right toward us before it tipped out of sight.
Ollie, I want to thank you for a wonderful and interesting trip, but I'd like to go home now. If we get a plane today, I'm pretty sure we'll be in town for the Mets season ender against the Marlins.
Ollie stood over Lenny with his hands on his hips, eyes on the sea. He smirked.
I promised you a lifetime in paradise, buddy. We're not done yet.
I think my new idea of paradise is Minnesota in the winter. Preferably somewhere not even close to water. I'm including ponds, too.
Tara rubbed his cheek.
This is what we get for bitching about the cold and snow back in college.
I can't believe I used to love those Sharknado movies.
And why not? It was better to go down laughing than screaming. Tears mingled with the rain as it poured down their faces. A spray of water kicked up beside Lenny. Lenny got to his feet, standing beside Ollie.
What was that?
Ollie's head jerked to the main lab. A man looked down at them, his handgun drawn.
How in holy hell did he survive?
They couldn't hear the gunshot, but they saw another small geyser of water explode in front of Tara's foot. She skipped back. She looked around the roof. There was no place to hide. The man paused. It looked like he was reloading. One of Nacho's men, Mofongo, couldn't steady his trembling arms enough to take a good shot. No matter, there wasn't anywhere for those assholes to run. Even if he closed his eyes, he'd eventually hit them. When the tank exploded, he'd been back near the entrance, making sure they hadn't missed anyone lurking in the shadows during their mad dash inside. Nacho's anger and bloodlust had left them vulnerable to an attack from behind. He'd heard the tremendous explosion, then the distinctive sound of Akara screaming. A heavy wave blasted through the building, slamming Mofongo square in the back. It pushed him right out the door, dragging him across the meager beach, the sand grating away several layers of flesh. Stunned, he could only sit and watch as the water poured out, knowing that everyone inside had to be dead. No crew, no drugs, no boat. He was completely screwed. And out there was a killer shark so big, it defied logic. The Pacific ate the island rapidly as the storm raged. There was nowhere to go but back inside the building. If he could make it to the roof, he'd be on the highest ground. Maybe there was a chance he could ride it out. What he'd do after he survived was anyone's guess. He dashed back inside and found a narrow stairway in the middle building with the demolished tank.
Woo!
Mofongo discovered the stairs led to the roof. Using the butt of his rifle, he smashed the lock and opened the trap door. And then he saw the three people on the rooftop below. How the hell had they survived? No matter, whatever divine luck they'd had, had run out. There could be no witnesses. Captain Powell looked over his navigator's shoulder.
Something that big shouldn't be able to move that fast.
Then he snapped at his crew.
Keep your eyes on it.
Mother Nature had gotten her tits in a twist. That was nothing compared to what was pinging their sonar. That little asset gone rogue was the mother of all shitstorms. To make matters worse, he'd been expressly ordered not to frag the fucking thing. That would be too easy and make too much sense. The Maximus was to find a way to subdue and contain the asset. For the life of him, Powell couldn't fathom how exactly they were supposed to do that. His CO was to get back to him shortly with a detailed plan. His ass had been rubbed even rawer when he was informed that Grand Islet Tiburon was no longer deserted. American civilians now called the worthless stretch of sand home.
Come bastards.
Due to the very secret nature of what had been birthed at Grand Islet Tiburon, even presidents were not made fully aware of the details. All were told in no uncertain terms that the island was a no-go zone. Military officials in the know had counted on the specter of possible nuclear contamination being enough to keep prying eyes away from the island. It appears that someone in the administration had sent a team from the EPA down to Grand Islet Tiburon to see if it was indeed as bad as they'd been told. And of course, they'd found it to be perfectly clean. Because the real problem was down below. They sold the island to some lottery winner who had vowed to improve the lives of the nearby islanders in exchange for a lowball price on the island. Very kumbaya fucking yeah. No one had told Admiral Keyes, the man in charge of keeping watch over this sector, about the reckless and idiotic sale of the island. And because the military had been so weakened over the past 3 years, it had flown under their radar. Until now, when it might be too late.
Circle the perimeter for now.
His XO, Lewis, was one of only a handful of people aboard Maximus who knew what was down there with them. The civilian casualties would be chalked up to an acceptable loss. Sure, keep the killer shark alive, but eliminate the innocent witnesses. It made him sick to his stomach, though the logic was ironclad. Something like this was too big to let slip. Oh, but that damn thing had slipped, all right. Powell looked at his tablet. While he read, he gripped it so tight, the screen started to crack. Ollie found a crumbled bit of concrete and threw it at the man on the roof above. He hoped the smuggler was so concerned with loading his gun that he wouldn't see it coming. It didn't matter. The projectile missed him by a country mile.
This is why we didn't let you pitch when we played wiffle ball.
The gallows humor was coming in a steady stream. That only stressed the increasing certainty that they were all going to die.
Keep moving. Keep your heads down and get over there. The angle will be bad for him. He may not be able to see us.
Ollie and Tara carried Lenny between them. Something sizzled across Ollie's shoulder. He almost dropped Lenny. Adrenaline kept him moving. They collapsed in a pile, hitting the ledge while bullets peppered the wet roof around them.
Think I'm shot!
Even that didn't stop him from making sure he hadn't gotten any of the black horridness leaking from parts of Lenny on him. A bullet was a fair trade-off over getting infected with whatever had caused Lenny and Heidi to rot from the inside out. He felt guilty thinking that way, but survival instincts didn't give five farts about guilt. The man kept on shooting, but Ollie had been right. They'd managed to find the one spot on the roof that didn't offer a clean line of sight for the smuggler. Tara leaned over Lenny.
Where do you think you were hit?
Ollie tilted his shoulder toward her, not anxious to see for himself.
Take off your shirt.
He cowered as a bullet whooshed just over his head. It hurt to pull his arm out of the sleeve. Tara prodded his shoulder. He looked down and saw the blood.
Oh, you're lucky. I think it just grazed you. Can you move your arm?
He moved it just a bit, careful not to give the smuggler something to aim for. Rotating his shoulder hurt like a motherfucker.
Good.
Or as good as it gets. Any chance this asshole's gonna run out of bullets soon?
For the first time since they'd exited the lab, the rain seemed to be letting up. Ollie no longer felt like he was being pelted with thousands of ping pong balls.
He can't have an endless supply. We can't just sit here.
I'm gonna disagree with you on that.
His breathing was starting to sound raspy. Not a good sign. Ollie grimaced.
I'm tired of running like a chicken with his head cut off.
We've kind of had valid reasons to run.
Stay right here.
Tara snatched his hand when he tried to stand up, dragging him back down. Of course, she had to grab the hand attached to the shoulder that had been shot.
Ah!
Ollie saw a few stars.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
I'm gonna find out if he's really out of ammo or not.
How? By offering yourself as a human target?
In a way, yes.
Ollie extricated himself and scooted away before she could regain her hold. Sure, he'd been alligator arms and was shorter than most of the women he met, but there was one thing he'd always been that he wasn't ashamed of. Fast. Ollie sprinted to the other side of the roof. He looked back to make sure he got the smuggler's attention. The man brought his gun hand up, taking aim. The bullet plowed into the roof on his right. Ollie changed direction, the next bullet hammering harmlessly behind him. Running haphazardly around the roof, it took a while before he realized the shooting had stopped. Ollie looked at the man on the neighboring rooftop. With the dying rain, the skies had lightened considerably. The man stared down at him with murder in his eyes. Fuck you, Ollie seethed. Fuck you and your dead friends. He'd gotten into more than his share of tussles over the years, but he'd never wanted to kill someone before. Until now. He scanned the distance between them. There was a 2-foot gap between the buildings. He saw a connector, but he'd have to climb down to get to it, and that would take time. There were irregularities in the crumbling building that would make for perfect hand and footholds, especially if one had small hands and feet.
Ollie, what are you thinking?
He didn't realize Tara and Lenny had been staring at him.
I'm thinking it's time to tie up one loose end.
Screw it. He didn't want an implement between him and the bastard. He wanted to tear him apart with his bare hands. Ollie ran, leaping over the edge of the roof. He landed hard on the side of the building, frantically scrabbling for a crack to slip his fingers within. Sliding down several feet, his foot caught on an exposed section of the building, stopping his descent. A jolt of pain went from his ankle to his jaw. For a second, he thought he was going to fall into the water, and that would not be good.
Just climb!
He clambered up the side of the central lab. It was actually easier than he thought. Not that he was thinking much. He was on pure animal instinct mode now. He couldn't make out what Tara was saying and didn't want to. She'd been through and seen enough. She didn't need to witness what he planned to do. Just a few feet from the top, he looked up, expecting to see the smuggler waiting to stomp on him. All he saw was gray clouds. Ollie's shoulder crackled with pain as he pulled himself closer. Fresh blood seeped from the wound when he reached up, a few drops splattering his face. When his hand curled around the lip of the roof, he pulled himself up and over, expecting to be attacked. He landed with a splash on his side. the swarthy smuggler stood 10 feet from him. He flicked a butterfly knife open and closed with his left hand. Ollie sneered, slowly getting to his feet. He noticed a jagged cut on the man's neck. He wondered if shrapnel from the exploding tank had nicked him, the way the door had sliced Marco in half. Judging by the amount of blood leaking from the wound, it had to have weakened him. Ollie's fury was so vast at the moment, the man could be holding Conan's sword, and he wouldn't back down.
You speak any English?
It was hard for him to tell the man's nationality. He was definitely 100% scumbag. The smuggler spat, a glob of crimson phlegm splattering on Ollie's foot.
So much for any witty exchange.
The man squared his body, the knife's blade pointed straight out to stick Ollie somewhere soft and meaty. At the last second, Ollie hit the deck, wrapping his arms around the man's ankles and twisting him onto the ground. The smuggler gave a painful shout when his wounded neck made contact with the soaked yet unyielding surface. Ollie scurried from beside the man and leapt onto his torso. The knife flashed upward, catching Ollie's chest. He felt the butterfly knife slice through his left nipple. For the moment, he didn't feel any pain. Ollie rained blows on the man's face, blood splattering up his arms. He counted each blow, his OCD telling him he couldn't stop until he'd reached the nice round number of 20. Ollie was beyond speech or coherent thought. There was only the orgasmic sensation of his knuckles crunching against the man's skull. And the steady count. 4, 5, 6, 7. His inner mantra that blocked out everything but the need to fulfill the goal he'd set in his mind. The building rumbled hard, throwing Ollie off balance. He slipped sideways, rolling off the smuggler. Spiraling away from the man, a sudden burst of pain flared from Ollie's thigh. He stopped his roll and looked down. The butterfly knife was buried up to the hilt in the meat of his thigh. He hadn't even felt it go in. The smuggler, his face a ruined mess, had somehow gotten back on his feet. He wiped a gob of blood and snot away with the back of his hand. He raised his fists, waiting for Ollie to do the same. Ollie had to give him credit. The man could take a beating, and now they were even in the seeping wound department. He went rigid when he saw another man pull himself through a trap door in the roof. This one had a huge scar on his face. The second smuggler staggered onto the roof, his legs as unsteady. Rivulets of blood ran down his face. He must have taken a good whack on the head. Ollie brought his arms up.
I don't think your friend is gonna be much help.
The shark ate your ugly bitch. She died like a piece of bait.
He then said something to the man Ollie had been fighting in a language he couldn't pin down. The smuggler looked at him. His gaze lingered on Ollie's arms. Ollie saw red. And then the building exploded. The creature smelled the ripe scent of more food, special food. Only it wasn't in the water. The shark swam beneath the place that had been its home, its prison, senses heightened by the nearby presence of sustenance. Not being able to find it was driving it insane with desire. If not below, then it had to be above. And above meant through that hole in the ocean, the one that led to the other world, where it had seen many small beings peering down at it. Using every ounce of lust-fueled strength in its muscled body, the creature rocketed toward the hole. It would find its food, even if it had to die trying.
Ollie!
Tara called Ollie! Ollie's name over and over again, Ollie! But he wouldn't stop Ollie! Climbing.
Ollie!
Once he slipped onto the roof Ollie! Above, it was as if he'd Ollie! Simply disappeared.
What the hell is he trying to prove?
Lenny shifted his back against the edge of the roof.
You didn't call him Raging Bull for nothing. He's beaten guys up just for making wise-ass remarks about his size.
He swept his hands around them.
Someone has to pay for this. And it's going to be that asshole.
That asshole has a gun.
I think Ollie did a good job making sure he wasted his ammo. At least, I hope he did.
They sat listening for the sound of gunfire. She looked over the roof and deflated. The water was still rising. It wouldn't be long before she'd somehow have to get Lenny up onto the other roof. Lenny nudged her with his leg. She could feel the heat radiating off his skin.
He'll be all right.
How can you know that?
Because there has to be a balance. You can't have all this shit go sideways without a little something going your way.
The whites of Lenny's eyes were shot through with thick red lines, some of them turning black. She couldn't even begin to imagine what he was feeling inside. Heidi had said she was melting. What sick bastard could dream up a poison like that? The same one who thought bringing a megalodon back from extinction would advance both science and military might. For all she knew, there was more than one of those men up there waiting for Ollie. He'd been through the ringer. They all had. How much could he have left in the tank to fight them off? Tara wanted to make her way up there and help, or at the very least, see what the hell was going on. But Lenny needed her. She couldn't leave him here to die alone. The building shook. She grabbed hold of Lenny.
Not this. Not now.
The lab was old and had been left to rot for decades. The ocean was doing its best to knock the whole thing down. The thought of being in the water terrified her. She'd rather be shot than eaten alive by the shark.
We should move away from the edge. That'll be the first to slide into the Pacific.
Tara put out her hand to help him up.
It's probably best you don't touch me. I'm getting worse. The infection is everywhere now.
Tara didn't protest, feeling terrible about it. They staggered to the middle of the roof. She still couldn't see Ollie.
That building had to have been compromised when the tank went. If this one is starting to go, that one can't be far behind. Ollie!
The rumbling under their feet intensified.
You going to be all right to swim, Stump?
Looks like I'm not gonna have a choice, T-Mac.
Zigzagging cracks snaked across the roof. Tara expected to fall through the roof and into the water any second. Tara was blown backwards when the central lab building exploded outward. Lightning bolts of pain shot from her tailbone down to her legs and straight to her teeth. Tara watched in mute horror as the behemoth shark rocketed through the disintegrating building. She wanted to scream, she wanted to cry, but for the moment, she couldn't even draw a breath. The megalodon's enormous mouth was wide open, devouring brick and steel, powering into the air. How the hell did it know Ollie and the smuggler were up there? As gravity dragged the massive megalodon back into the ocean, the remains of the building splashed around it. The air was choked with turgid water and debris.
Oh my God, Ollie!
Her lungs were burning.
Look!
Lenny pointed to the tumbling refuse. The shadow of a man tumbled toward them. His arms and legs whirled in a vain attempt to find purchase where there was none to be had. The building under them gave a fatal and grinding shake. Tara heard the foundation start to give way. Somehow, Lenny had made it to his feet, running toward the falling man. Tara saw a flash of the man's face and the raw terror in his eyes. It wasn't Ollie.
Lenny, it's the smuggler!
Lenny stopped short, letting the man fall. Running, she peered over the edge of the roof. Tara looked into the floating field of carnage. There was no sign of Ollie. It felt as if a fist were closing over her heart. Poor Ollie. He only wanted to make people happy after being denied happiness most of his life. The megalodon's fin sliced back and forth through the water, seeming to revel in the destruction it had wrought. Glancing back at her, Lenny spoke.
Good eye. I'd hate to have sacrificed myself for that guy.
He collapsed onto his bad side when the building canted hard to the left. Tara clawed the rough surface. It was no use. The damage was done. The building was breaking up fast, tilting into the ocean. Slipping across the slick roof, she managed to grab hold of an outer pocket on Lenny's shorts. At least they would go down together. With one last heave, the building floundered. Tara and Lenny sprawled into the ocean. She broke through the surface, fighting for a merciful breath.
Over here!
He'd found a buoyant slab of driftwood and draped his good arm over it. She knifed through the water to latch onto it. They floated. Tara saw how gray his skin had become, with lines of black blossoming on his jawline. He couldn't have much more to go, and he was a living dinner bell for the shark. She could push away now and get as far from him as she could, forced to watch him get eaten before she met the same fate, or she could stay by him and not die alone. The sound of a motor broke her from mulling over a winless choice. She looked around for the source. Lenny rested his head on the driftwood. His eyes were closed. Whatever was making the noise was coming closer because she could feel the rumbling in her chest. Riding the crest of a whitecap, she spotted a boat.
Stump, I need you to wake up.
Please, just let me sleep, T-Mac.
You can sleep all you want later, buddy. Right now, we need to hitch a ride.
When Steven steered Ollie's boat, the Sarah Kay, to where the lab once stood, his heart sank. Everything was gone. The shattered remains of the lab littered the surface of the ocean. And somewhere within the mess was his wife. He couldn't see her anywhere. But he did spy Tara and a stranger clinging onto a slab of wood. He eased back on the Sarah Kay's throttle and steered next to them. He pulled a life preserver from the hook and tossed it over to Tara. She looked completely wiped out. He wrapped the end of the rope several times around his wrist.
Take Lenny first.
She tried to loop the circular tube over the gray man's upper body. That's Lenny? Steven bit back his repulsion. He looked a lot like Heidi had before he'd left to find a way out of the lab and off this cursed island. He didn't know he'd end up getting swept into the sea. The current had ripped him farther from the lab. The circling fins of smaller sharks turned in his direction. Paddling like a man possessed, he had found himself deposited to where the dock and beach had once been. Ollie's boat was still there. The smaller sharks were getting closer. Steven struggled to climb aboard. He flipped the bird defiantly at the disappointed sharks. He had to get back to Heidi. If he could somehow get her to a medical facility on a nearby island, they might be able to save her.
Where's Heidi?
Get Lenny on board.
Tara avoided his gaze. Steven had a hard time drawing his next breath, much less pulling Lenny's dead weight. Lenny looked like a diseased avocado. The last thing he wanted to do was come in contact with his infected skin.
Come on, take him!
She looked over her shoulder repeatedly. He leaned over the boat, hesitating.
Steven!
Let me help you.
He reached out to her.
Lenny first! And hurry, goddammit!
But he's infected. Is he even alive?
If you're worried about catching it, do I need to remind you that you were holding Heidi the entire time she was sick? Just grab him by his shirt and pants if you can.
Hearing Heidi's name made him forget his worries about the poison running through Lenny. Using both hands, he hauled Lenny aboard. Lenny flopped onto the deck. Thick black fluid leaked from the corner of his mouth. Tara managed to get herself on board.
Where's Heidi?
She didn't make it. I'm so sorry, Steven, but she went out trying to save us.
It felt as if the world had been yanked out from under him. She died trying to save them. Oh God, Heidi, you can't leave me.
We have to get the fuck out of here!
He didn't realize Tara had grabbed his arms and was shaking him, shouting into his face.
What?
We have to get the fuck out of here!
I need to find Heidi. Where's her body?
I don't know. She was in the lab when it blew up.
It blew up? How did it blow up?
It was the water. And the shark. Look, you have to get us as far away from here as you can right now.
No, not without Heidi. I can't leave her out here.
Tara stormed past him and went to the pilot seat.
Just tell me what the hell I need to do. Steven!
I need to take Heidi home.
A sudden sting in his cheek shook him from his fugue. When he didn't react, Tara slapped him again.
Drive the fucking boat!
Her lips were curled into a snarl. She roughly grabbed his face and twisted his head.
See that? If you don't haul ass, it's gonna find us.
He watched the impossibly large dorsal fin patrol the water. It was 100 or so yards away now, but it had turned in their direction. The sight of the shark brought him crashing back to reality. Tara was right. They had to get out of there, fast. He opened up the throttle and turned the wheel. Tara knelt by Lenny, propping his head up under the life preserver. He fought against the ocean, trying to get the Sarah Kay going in the opposite direction of that shark. Daring to look back, he caught the shark leaping from the ocean. It slammed into the water, sending a ripple of waves that nearly flipped the Sarah Kay.
It's coming!
I'm trying!
Wait! There's someone out there!
So what?
It might be Ollie.
Not my problem. I'm getting us out of here. Get off!
He nudged Tara off him, and she went sprawling, sliding next to an unconscious Lenny. Fuck Ollie. As far as he was concerned, Ollie had killed Heidi. He'd earned whatever he had coming to him. Captain Powell watched the monitor as the Megalodon thrashed about in the water.
How in the holy hell can we capture that thing? It'll snap Maximus in two!
The Megalodon seemed bigger than he'd thought, and it moved so damn fast. No wonder they had tried to weaponize the thing. But how the hell did they think they could ever bend it to their will? The Megalodon was a force of nature, an extinct beast that no longer had a place in this world. Somehow, they were supposed to get the shark's attention and corral it into the special holding pen under the island. He couldn't imagine a single scenario where the submarine wasn't smashed to bits.
They said it should be weakening, but it sure as shit doesn't look that way to me.
The actions of the shark were downright manic, circling the island, jumping, diving deep, and then barreling to the surface like it completely lost its mind.
The lunatics that designed it also put in a failsafe. It can't go for long without a special chemical that's fed to it. There's no more supply. It'll burn itself out. And we go in and get it back in its cage after we repair it.
His XO, Lewis, glared at him.
And we can't kill. If this bastard dies under our watch, we're cooked. And I'm not just talking career-wise. The words court-martial were mentioned more than once.
Lewis shook his head and punched his fist against the bulkhead.
It's our job to get it back in mothball so someone can find a way to fix it. All without letting the administration find out. Simple.
Both men stared at the monitor, watching the shark circle. But some things can't be fixed. Nacho was having a hard time staying awake. There was a constant buzzing in his head. His body was numb. At least his scar had stopped itching. His vision was blurry, but he could see that he still had a good hold on the man's leg. This little man who had somehow bested them all. Nacho was dying. Soon enough, Nacho's dead weight would be an anchor, dragging the son of a bitch into the sea. The smuggler smiled for the first time that day.